My favourite things on the Johnny Hero Show. We've done hundreds of these over the years. This is a bit strange because it's Kathy.
Yeah.
Who used to work on the show.
Yeah, used to.
You worked on the show for three and a bit
three
years.
Three and a bit years, yeah. Three and a bit years, so I know you quite well.
No.
I've seen you on your good days. I've seen you on your bad days.
So, did you enjoy it?
I loved it. I absolutely loved it. It was a great experience, definitely. I got to do loads of things and I got to meet lots of people and I got to do some really crazy things which I never, ever, ever thought I would ever do.
Yeah, you got to interview Basil Brush at the Opera House and interview Mae McFetridge, which is always a wee stripe in anybody's, army shirt.
And meeting Jedward.
Yes.
That was one of the most epic
interviews.
Now,
when you first came here, you were very young.
I was very young.
Very much younger than the demographic that we aim for. Did you find it strange? I mean, we're dealing with the music and the kind of topics that we deal with.
I loved it because I always had an interest in radio and I did an awful lot of student radio. And I was kind of just fresh out of university whenever I came here. I did a traineeship sort of thing. And whenever I came here, I was just so... It just... Obviously, because I'd heard of you before, I'd heard of Carolyn and Frank and all that sort of stuff. It was just so amazing to watch you go in and just present and watch that just going out live and get the response from everybody phoning in. That was just incredible. And of course, the music was just an added bonus because I love music, I love noise. So,
did you come to like our music after a time?
Yes.
Because I know, like a lot of young people, you would have thought, it's rubbish, it's all rubbish. And then,
it's not at all. It was really good because whenever I first came here, I was really kind of, I don't know, I wouldn't describe it as hipster music, but I still and always will love drum and bass and dubstep and all that sort of stuff, like more like
noise.
Sounds.
Yeah, bloody noise.
But I think working within U105 kind of gave me a bit of an education.
Yeah.
And also working on the Golden Years as well certainly brought me to know a few different artists.
Actually, I was surprised because I remember the first time you were actually asking for particular mixes on the Golden Years and I was thinking, wow. All of this stuff was recorded like years before you were even born.
It was just like I would always remember if I heard a song, I would always come in and just say, "What's that song?"
Yeah.
And I immediately would put it on my Spotify playlist, and then I would find the artist, and then I'd listen to all their songs and that sort of thing. So if you look at my playlist, there's everything and anything on it.
Yeah.
But I absolutely loved it. We do play good music as well.
Yeah,
so.
You did mention there's a sort of steady stream of celebrities and all coming in and out of here, actors, politicians, sports stars, whatever.
Yeah.
Anybody particular you really sort of were looking forward to meeting?
Well, I was overly excited about Jedward.
Your credibility really is just going down.
I think
down.
It's because a lot of people kept me going that I looked like Jedward's sister or something. But honestly, a lot of people kept that going.
Do you remember they came in and nearly wrecked the place?
They were absolutely crackers. I think I loved meeting them and stuff, but I don't think I could ever meet them again. They're too much hard work.
Yeah, you couldn't stick that in big doses. I mean, they came in, they were like cats on cocaine. They just ran around bouncing off the walls and wrecking the place.
Absolutely nuts. But I loved interviewing Mae McFetridge, John Lennon. He was absolutely lovely. Really, really, really lovely. Or sorry, she. And I also interviewed James Nesbitt, which was pretty... I was really nervous about that one because I didn't want to make a fool of myself. It was kind of one of my first ones. But you know what? One of the best things I ever worked on was the hospice campaign.
Yeah.
And interviewing people who, you know, what the Northern Ireland Hospice did for them and how their good work, you know, helped them and sort of thing. Because I went up there and I chatted to the patients and I chatted to the staff. And that was a really, really big eye-opener.
Yeah.
Those people weren't celebrities. They were just doing really, really good jobs.
And again, the thing about the hospice campaign, it lets you see how the U105 listeners respond.
Yeah.
You know, because the money that was flying in was just...
Even working, I worked on the... I actually followed that bus in 2000. It was 2012. And people just came on the bus and just were giving, you know, they would come on the bus not say anything, but you could tell that, you know, it had affected them.
Yeah.
You know, they'd been affected by this or they'd been helped by the hospice in one way or another. And they just would give you money. They wouldn't say anything and you'd say thank you and they'd just leave.
Yeah.
So it was quite an emotional experience as well.
No.
But it was also a great experience and you're just seeing what good work they do.
Oh, you know, exactly, yeah. So you've actually dealt with all kinds of facets of radio work here in U105. Well, I want to get to your favourite things.
Yeah.
A favourite book.
Favourite book? Oh, these favourite things are really hard because I like a lot of things. But I'm actually going to go with a favourite play, if that's okay.
Right.
Favourite play. Well, a favourite author, that would be Sue Townsend, who passed away last week.
Yeah. Famous for the Adrian Mole diaries.
Adrian Mole diaries. I loved, absolutely loved Adrian Mole. I was actually reading Adrian Mole, The Prostate Years.
Yeah.
I've been reading that. I was reading that last week and found out the news and I was absolutely devastated. But Sue Townsend is, she's a great writer. She was from Leicester and she didn't start writing until she was, you know, she had her children and things. She's from a very working class background and she was just basically encouraged to write. She was encouraged to write. She got onto like a writer's program and then she just started to write. People, you know, people got involved and, you know, wanted to help her and things. But she was an adult. She was a fully grown adult and she had a family and she just wrote about what she saw. And my favorite play would be Womerang by Sue Townsend, which was her first play. And I've directed it, I've acted in it. I first came across it when I was at school and we did like a 20 minute insert from it. And then when I was at university, I directed it fully and put together my own cast and crew and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But basically the play, it's centered about this protagonist called Rita. And she goes into a gynecologist waiting room. She's obviously has problems with her children. Her children have been taken off her and all this sort of thing. And she's got her little sidekick called Dolly. And there's a quite sentimental story about Dolly, but I won't get into that now. I'll tell you later. But anyway, so she goes into this waiting room and she just turns everything in her head. All these people, you know, you go into a doctor's waiting room, everybody's sitting there looking at each other.
Yeah.
And they kind of think, you know, what's wrong with you? But this is a gynecologist waiting room, so yeah. It's all about female problems. So basically, she goes into this room, she gets out, she starts getting everybody into like a therapy circle and they all start talking about their problems and she gets out a bottle of gin and by the end of it, everybody's like dancing on the tables and actually rejoicing in their life, you know? And they've all kind of like helped each other through their problems. And I don't know, the play, it's just full of such great one-liners. It's only about 40 minutes long, but it's absolutely hilarious.
I'll have to check it out.
You do.
I'd
you
never
really,
heard of
really
it.
Do.
Never heard of it until you mentioned it, although yeah. I do read the Sue Townsend stuff.
Yeah.
What about a film?
Film? Oh, I'm going to go with a 90s film. I do love films. I really do. My dad got me into an awful lot of, you know, black and white films and that sort of thing. Favourite thing to do is kind of sit down and have a wee tipple and watch a nice film.
Yeah.
But I was going to go with The Apartment. Which is
Jack Lemmon.
Yeah, 1960. Yeah. But I'm actually going to go with a film which I've watched countless upon countless times, and you're probably going to turn your nose up at it. But it's 10 Things I Hate About You, and it stars the late Heath Ledger, my future husband, which would be Joseph Gordon-Levitt, who I absolutely love. I think he's a great actor. Julia Stiles, and it's got and the rest of the cast are just kind of brilliant. It's loosely based on The Taming of the Shrew by William Shakespeare.
Yeah.
And it's set in American high school, and there's two sisters, and one of them's really popular, and one of them, she used to be popular, but she kind of stepped away from that. And it's just kind of, their dad is really controlling and won't let them go out and, you know, won't let the younger one go and see boys for fear of what would happen and that sort of thing. And he basically puts a rule in place that is about the younger sister can only date whenever the older sister does.
Right.
So basically, without ruining the story, the younger sister has this admirer, who Joey Donner, who's a model, and he just wants to get her for a bet. So he pays someone to go out with the older sister.
All right.
But basically, the guy who would go out, who he pays, is this kind of like tearaway and things. But he does it initially for the money. Then he realises this girl, you know what, there's something really about her. And there's this really great scene whenever, like, you know, whenever men and women, you know, they you know, you're trying to get to know someone, or you see someone you like, or you try and approach them and you try and chat to them. There's this great line in the film where he comes up to her, goes, she's playing football, and he comes up to her and he says, oh, hey girl, you're looking really well or something like that. And she's like, oh, now I've struck your fancy, now we see the world make sense again. And she totally just dismisses him. It's just a really big, you know. And then he realises, you know what, I've got to work really hard to get this girl.
See,
and he goes and finds out what she's about.
But that's very similar to Guys and Dolls, Frank Sinatra and Marlon Brando.
Yeah.
Marlon Brando goes out with Gene Simmons for a bet, and it's the same kind of, then he sort of basically falls in love with her.
Yeah.
You know,
because he gets to know what she likes and what she's about. He doesn't just go for looks. He did do his research on her, but he found out what she likes, what music she likes, what books she likes, and took time to get to know her. And realizes, very often we kind of look at people and look at their persona from the outside and think, I wouldn't want to get to know them, they don't seem like a very approachable person. But sometimes people have reasons why they're like that, and once you get to know them, you might actually find you've a lot in common with them.
It's just turning into psychotherapy.
Session. But it's just, you know what, it's just such a funny film, so funny.
I'll check it out then.
It's really, really funny.
Right. The big radio question, I suppose, as we always say, favourite song.
Oh, I hate this one. This has changed so many different times in my head over the past week and a bit. Well, I was initially going to go with a song from... You know, you always have an album when you're like 15 or 16 and you've listened to that album to death. Mm-hmm. And it was the kind of soundtrack to your teenage years. I was initially going to go with... I'm a massive Counting Crows fan. They are a very 90s band. And their album, This Desert Life, was one of those albums which I would listen to. I listened to it throughout my teenage years. I would still listen to it now. And it's just incredibly clever. They're an incredibly clever band. They've got really good lyrics. You know, they're kind of a band which they've expanded over the years. They like to add more members, more instruments, you know, kind of keep their creative process growing.
Just keep pushing, yeah.
And there's a song which I absolutely love, and it's Mrs. Potter's Lullaby. And it's like, hey, it says something like, hey, Mrs. Potter, please don't cry. Won't you talk to me or something like that. Words have left me, but I listen to it all the time. But there's a bit in it whenever it's a line which says, you walk into the party, you're always at the party, but you never know anyone, but you're the host. So it's kind of, it's really deep, you know, their words are kind of, they're like loads of puns and that sort of thing. But the actual song, which I'm going to go to for favourite song, is a collaboration, and it's between the late Michael Jackson and Janet Jackson, and it's Scream. Because I wasn't a Jackson fan, but my brother got me into Michael Jackson because he used to play the Invincible album really, really, really loudly, and I used to have to listen to it late at night, and I started to really, really hate it. I'd be like, turn that down, I've got to go, you know. He'd be up all night, I'd be like, I've got to go to school in the morning, shut up.
This sounds like me and Arlinda.
Yeah, honestly. I know, I used to go in and just shout at him. But then he started going back to, you know, Dangerous, Off the Wall album, all that sort of stuff, and I realised how much Michael Jackson was an absolute legend. And I just absolutely love the song Michael and Janet, because it's such a significant song. It's a brother and a sister doing what they love together and showcasing it together. And the film, the actual video, is one of the most expensive videos ever made, because it features so many great works of art and all this sort of thing. And after Michael died, it was actually really emotional. Janet was on one of the American Film Awards, and there's a sequence in the middle of the video where they both do this dance together. And she did it with him in the background on the screen, and she did the exact same moves, and they were so perfectly in time together. It was amazing. It's an incredible, incredible song.
Okay, we'll stick that
on. By two great
artists. Right, so that's you.
Yeah.
Kathy, thanks for working on the show.
Thank you, Johnny. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.